Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted hospitals of Tennessee with owner Ronnie D. Ronnie D doesn't own just one haunted abandoned hospital. He owns two. He was in the right place at the right time and was able to purchase the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Pittsburgh, Tennessee, when the state put a lien on the building. When he heard they were going to tear down the Harriman Hospital in Harriman, Tennessee, he was able to purchase the building, preserving its history and its hauntings. Both hospitals might appear to be abandoned, but they have a lot of activity behind their doors. There are many spirits in both locations, including a doctor who is still smoking his pipe, a nurse who died in the hospital and said she'd be back and has been seen sitting in her chair, and in the Harriman Hospital, who is the man that all 40 volunteers have seen. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital and the old historic Harriman Hospital with owner Ronnie D.
I'm the president of the company that owns both of the hospitals. We own Old Historic Harriman Hospital, which is located in Harriman, Tennessee. And then I also own the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, which is kind of a legendary hospital. It's been around for quite some time. It's been in the paranormal world for quite some time. And I was just at the right place at the right time and was able to purchase the hospital. And then Harriman came about 3 years later. Basically, we kind of got information that they were going to tear the hospital down, and we got a hold of the city that owned the hospital, which would have been Harriman, and tried to convince them into saving the landmark, which we got to do. And 3 years later, well, it's 2 years later, sorry, 2 years later now, I think the city is extremely happy with us in terms of making it really a multi-purpose unit or building, because it not only serves the paranormal, but it serves we do Hollywood videos there, or Hollywood movies there. We do PBS specials. So it's become really quite a keystone for downtown Harriman in terms of generating revenue for the city, as well as keeping the historic location available for everybody to enjoy.
Which is so interesting to me. I had no idea. I just was planning on talking about the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. So we're going to talk a little bit about both today, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. So you get a twofer with me.
I know. It's so exciting.
Buy one, get the second free.
And let's talk about you. Where did your life take the turn to get you interested in even owning two hospitals known for their paranormal activity. Something must have happened much earlier in your life, or maybe it's just something at some point you're like, yeah, the paranormal is really interesting to me.
You know, it was kind of weird because as a child growing up, I didn't have any, you know, real paranormal experiences. Kind of was just a regular old kid who, you know, got dirty and went fishing and did everything as normal. As I got older, still, once again, really not really familiar with the paranormal. Didn't really get involved in it until later in life. And primarily, to be really honest with you, I think it was TV that got me involved mostly in paranormal. Quite frankly, because I was watching a lot of the shows on TV and I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, when you're actually watching it from the TV point of view, you kind of watch it and you're like, yeah, this can't be real. You know, somebody's playing back a recorder and it says, get out, or, you know, whatever. And I was like, and then we had sit kind of around watching the shows and just kind of pick apart what was going on. So, of course, me being the kind of person I am, I was like, hey, let's go give it a try. So I got hooked. We went out, we assembled a group real quickly with a bunch of like-minded people, started traveling across the United States and went to different locations, and actually realized what we were experiencing was unexplainable. And, I got hooked. And I think it's kind of a neat industry because it's an industry where you want more, 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 more. You get your first, you know, EVP, or you get your first this or whatever. And then you start talking to other groups who have, you know, had seen things or heard things, and you want that experience. So you keep going more and more and more locations. And then I came to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital quite some time ago, and I had my first full body apparition viewing in this building. And that really made me hooked. That made me really question and wonder what was on the other side. And one of the things I thought was really unique is that this building, OSPH, is a building that really kind of pulls you in. And that kind of started my future in terms of being an owner of locations that are paranormally active.
So when you went there the first time, it wasn't like you bought it already. You probably went there as an investigator.
Correct.
How did you end up buying it?
Well, I came to Old South Pittsburgh probably about 7 or 8 times prior to purchasing it. And what was really, really sad is one of the things I find really fascinating about the paranormal. And I know you and I talked about this a little while ago before we kind of came on the air. I think history and paranormal go really hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And with Old South Pittsburgh, it was kind of a unique environment because it was one of those locations that had such a reputation. And it had such a reputation of scrupulous things going on. It had a lot of negativity towards the building. And I never felt that when I investigated here. I felt kind of at ease, kind of scared, because, you know, you're in alone, you know, by yourself. But I never got that kind of evil or, I guess, malevolent feelings that was being kind of put across the internet. So then what happened was, is like I said, we came quite a few times, and there was one night where we were really kind of bored, and I saw my first full body apparition in the building. I then called the owners, and I was like, hey, I'm interested in purchasing the building. And of course, they said, no, you know, we have no intent in you know, selling the building to anybody. But the really sad thing was, is coming to the building over the length of time I did, we watched her start to deteriorate, and the owners of the building really weren't putting the money back into the building. And I think I showed a real big love and care for the building. And so I would say, well, it's 5 years ago this month that we actually purchased the building from the IRS. Pretty much what happened was, is the old owner got into some tax issues that really weren't even to do with OSPH. He was a doctor that ended up, I guess, not paying payroll taxes. So the state of Tennessee came in, started putting liens on everything and started trying to get their money back. And one of the items that went up for auction was OSPH. And I guess it just was all meant to be because we put a bid in, ended up winning it. And then we came in and we started cleaning her immediately. And 5 years later, here we sit on a beautiful building.
I like how you refer to her as a female.
I don't hire her. Hopefully nobody gets offended. But
no, I love it. Just being a man, awesome.
I think anything that we find that's beautiful in a men's point of view, I mean, I just look at, you know, I call them a her, like a car is, it got beautiful lines. This building's just got some amazing architecture behind it. And not only that, it's got some just absolutely amazing historical value that comes along with the building that a lot of people really don't know, because old management were too busy talking about how scary it was instead of really how delightful this building was.
Well, let's talk about that. If you would describe the building, because, you know, a lot of what I talk about are very old. You would drive by and go, that place is haunted. I don't know that I would necessarily drive by and go, that old hospital is haunted. But then when you look at the pictures, I'm like, eh, I can kind of see that. But it isn't old, old, old. It was, what, like 1959, 58?
So there's a bunch of stages actually onto the hospital. One thing that's really unique about Old South Pittsburgh that's not the same with many other buildings in the area, or hospitals, I should say, in the areas, Old South Pittsburgh was built in 1958. It was actually constructed by three doctors who all were from the area, who were practicing, one in Alabama, one of them in Tennessee, and I believe the other one was in Georgia. They were practicing, and they didn't really have a hospital in the area to serve the needs of the locals. So they put together an idea, and they built what was called the Tri-City Clinic. That was built in 1958. It opened in August 13th of 1959. It was the first part of the building. So when you pull up and you're actually looking at the left-hand side of the building, that's the Tri-City Clinic. It was a clinic that was designed primarily for emergencies, had an operating room, and but primarily for local care. They went to the city, got bonds. It was neat because people from the community actually pitched in to build the building, to pay for it. The doctors took money out of their pockets to do it. So it was really funded primarily by the citizens of Marion County and the local counties. And then as the development, or as the area grew, so did the hospital. So then they put on another addition and another addition and another addition. And the last addition they put on was in the 70s. So when you pull up to the hospital and you see this kind of menacing three-story building, that was the latest addition to the building. And I know we get a lot of people pull up and they're like, oh, that's a really small building. What happens is that they built the new part of the building up front and they hid the rest of the hospital kind of behind it. So when you pull up, you only see that three-story building, and most people don't realize that there's a whole big building behind the building. So it comes up to be about 68,000 square feet. When the hospital was operable, they had everything from a psych ward to a nursery to operating rooms, physical therapy, even dentist office. So it was a well-rounded hospital that served the needs of everybody. One thing historically that's actually really, really cool about the hospital is if you're looking out back, there is a cafeteria out back. And in that cafeteria on Sundays and on the weekends, a lot of the men from the area would actually come over and, believe it or not, eat. Apparently this hospital, from when we interviewed a lot of people, had some of the best food in the area. And I know you and I growing up, hospitals are not famous for their food. But this hospital, for some odd reason, I don't know why, but became kind of a hangout for all of the locals on the weekends, you know, to talk about how Johnny, hit a home run in baseball, and, you know, Susie's cheerleading. And it became a real community area for everybody to kind of hang out and, communicate and to share their lives with everybody. And South Pittsburgh was kind of a growing, you know, little city at that point in time. We had Coca-Cola bottling. There was a bunch of kind of industry in the area. So the hospital actually was kind of the focal point of a lot of people to really just come and hang out. You take that with the healthcare, and you just got a building that's got so much positive energy in it. That's one of the reasons why it did so well in South Pittsburgh.
But you had heard stories of, I'm not sure the word to use, mistreatment or some darker stories about what went on in the hospital?
Well, we've heard all sorts of stories. So primarily, you know, one of the things that we've been trying to do is remember evil and all that stuff really sells. You know, people don't want to hear, you know, rainbows and unicorns. They want, you know, demons and devils and bloodshed and that kind of thing. That's what, for some odd reason, that's what really attracts people. And I think old management, going back to when the building was first opened for paranormal investigating, I think they believed that they could sell evil, that they could sell, you know, the building was on a, one of the things that I heard was, you know, the building was on an Indian slaughter ground that we came in and we slaughtered all these Indians and they're underneath the foundation of the hospital. Well, we know that's not true. You know, we've done research. And the way that the, when things get dug up, when they find human remains, they got to stop in the middle of their building and everything's, well, there's no record whatsoever of anything like that. So we're trying to get rid of some of that history. Now, that being said, this was an area where Confederate and Union soldiers did cross. We're only a couple blocks from the Tennessee River. So it was definitely a main area where you would see that happening. But once again, we can't validate whether or not there is any actual killings on the property of the hospital was on. We've heard rumors that there are, you know, weapon caches out back and there were this and there were that. And talking to the Historical Society in South Pittsburgh, there is no, unfortunately, there's no validation or verification for any of that. As a matter of fact, what we were told was prior to the hospital actually being born was is there was actually a community garden that was actually on the property. So once again, you've got kind of a happy piece of property that they built, you know, Old South Pittsburgh on, but that's what they used it for. It was a community garden. They grew for the community and that kind of stuff. So once again, dating back, we can't find any real negative evil or terrible happenings that actually happened on the property itself. The big battle, which is South Pittsburgh Landing, is quite a few miles down the road. And that was an area where there was a battle and bloodshed, but really nothing to speak of here where the hospital is. And in terms of malpractice, and, you know, we heard, you know, and I'm going to dispel this right now, but we heard that there are illegal abortions going on in back rooms and that there was this, that, or whatever, and the hospital shut down because of malpractice and all that stuff. You know, I'll tell you that even today in 2023, medical is not 100% guaranteed. You know, if you come to a hospital and you're going to die. And, you know, there were mistakes that were made in the hospital here, just like there were made in hospitals that are still standing today in 2023. Right. Was there any malicious or malintent here? Absolutely not. There were not any illegal abortions going on. There was not any malpractice. Now, I will tell you that at the time in the 50s and the 60s, you know, psych patients were being prescribed medication that was being, it was under trial. And there was some negative, of course, recourses to that medication. But that happens, like I said, to this very day as well. In 2023, we still have, you know, I mean, look at the pandemic and the shots that a lot of us have taken are having some negative effects to them. So, you know, medical is an ever evolving, as humans evolve, so does medical. So, you know, a lot of those malpractice suits and stuff that they're talking about is just growing pains of the medical field. And like I said, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, there were a lot of practices that were being changed regularly. So is there a possibility that people lost their lives because somebody was taking an experimental new drug or an experimental new surgery or something like that? You know, absolutely. But was it malintent or was it purposefully? No, it was not. These doctors that were here, one of them, Dr. Taylor, was actually a graduate from Vanderbilt, graduated in the top 5% of his class. A man like that is not going to do something that is going to jeopardize his career as a doctor. So we don't believe that there was any malpractice, whatever. The hospital primarily closed down, number one, because of size. If you ever make the trip out here, you'll notice that our ER is 2-bed ER with 2 private rooms. You know, in a community like this, that's nowhere near enough. From my understanding, when the hospital was open, if they had overflow and stuff like that, they would actually put people in the hallways because there just wasn't enough room in the ER. So the hospital just kind of, the area kind of outgrew the needs of the hospital. And they actually built a hospital, I want to say it's 15 minutes away, called Parkside. That's just right down the road. And that's really what took the place of Old South Pittsburgh. When buildings get older, especially hospital buildings, get very antiquated in terms of their cooling, heating, their efficiencies and deficiencies. So, you know, when you're talking about a hospital like Old South Pittsburgh that was paying $100,000 a month for electric, and you can move down the road and put, you know, newer equipment in and cut that energy cost in half, that's going to really, really dictate them opening up a new hospital. That's pretty much what took place here at South Pittsburgh.
That makes sense, because I was wondering why. I'm like, it was only open for like 40 years. But that makes sense, because a two-bed ER, that, and you'd have to be a really tiny town.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just very antiquated. You know, buildings, and you know this, buildings just in the old days when they built them, they weren't built with the greatest insulation. They weren't built with the technologies that we have today. And, you know, we're trying to go green. We're trying to have buildings that are more energy efficient. And, you know, that's a lot of the old buildings like this. That's why they kind of put them to the wayside and they build something, you know, bigger, better, more energy efficient with, you know, with just better built altogether. And that's why you see like Harriman Hospital. That's why you see South Pittsburgh. That's why you see so many of these older buildings just kind of become relics, because they don't, it would cost them more to come in and knock everything out, put everything brand new in, than it would for them just to go down the road, build a new building.
That was like where I live here. I live in Kansas, and that happened with our airport. It was like, we can't put in everything we need. It has to go away and we need a whole new one, you know, because sometimes you just can't go in and fix that.
Right. And what the real shame is that a lot of these older buildings, you know, we were very fortunate because Old South Pittsburgh was kind of on the chopping block, as Harriman was too. When we knock these old buildings down, because we can use them for other things, like what we're doing with Harriman, what we're doing with South Pittsburgh, you know, nobody's getting rich off the building or anything like that. But the thing is that we get to keep history alive. You know, paranormal investigators come, they spend all sorts of money going to get, you know, their gas and their food and other stuff. But what's really the cool outcome is we get to save this building, and hopefully for generations in the future, to walk through the walls, or I hope they don't walk through the walls.
Well, you've got other apparitions to do that.
But they can walk the halls and, you know, see where, you know, Grandma Millie used to work. They can kind of get that feeling of what, you know, a hospital looked like back in the 50s. And, you know, Harriman was built in 1938. So now you're looking at a building that, you know, is almost 100 years old that people can walk through. And like I said, relative after relative, you know, we get a lot of people like, oh, yeah, my aunt was a nurse here, and she can tell you all these stories. So that's really what's cool and the best about owning something like a hospital like this, is we get to keep the history alive. Mm-hmm. We get to keep like kind of that, whatever you want to call it, that legacy alive of the healthcare workers that were here.
And the people who were born there. That would be cool to go see where you were born. The hospital I was born in is long gone. So that would be interesting.
Kind of one of the neatest things is sometimes we'll be working out front where, you know, we put trees and bushes in and trying to keep really beautiful outside. But like you said, we had a gentleman who, it was really weird, but we had a gentleman, I was bent over, I was pulling weeds, and he taps on my shoulder, and I turn around, and there's a big dude, menacing dude over the top of me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. He says, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I was born in that hospital. And I was like, oh, really? And so we sat down and talked to him for about an hour about, you know, him being born there and then him coming back and remembering it as a kid. And so it's really, really kind of neat because they take ownership of that. And kind of the city was, you know, the city people are kind of like, yeah, you know, I remember Dr. So-and-so that was there. And, you know, I broke my arm and he made it all better. And it was in that room. And then he points up to a room. And I'm like, it's really, really neat to be able to like share those stories. You know, sometimes the stories of the hospital aren't the greatest. You know, people die here, unfortunately. But what we focus on really the positive is, you know, like I said, somebody who's broken arm or somebody who's had, you know, some type of surgery here, that they're walking around South Pittsburgh, you know, this very day healthy and happy and those kind of things. And that's the success stories of hospitals like this.
So it was closed in 1998.
Correct.
Did it just sit empty for quite a while?
From my understanding, and this is what I understood, because as soon as it closed, there was a local gentleman who bought the hospital. He was a rather well-to-do person, and he bought it really to store garbage in it. He did have kind of an issue with hoarding. When we took over the building, the stuff that we pulled out, you would just be, oh my God, your mouth would drop. But he used the building to store a lot of stuff. And then he had a car collection, and he didn't have any place to store the cars. So he'd pull the cars in, and the cars would basically sit in the hallways of the Tri-City Clinic of the old part of the building. As time went on, he realized that he could make a little bit of money out of the hospital. So he started renting out rooms in the hospital to people who needed a place to stay for, you know, either a short or a long period of time. Then they brought in a gentleman named Jim, who ended up being the caretaker of the building and oversaw the whole building, as well as some of the people who were living in the building. And then it just kind of went from there. Then I guess some people started hearing things, seeing things. They realized that there was some paranormal activity going on. So then they kind of opened up the building to, you know, paranormal investigators and people like myself, you know, who came to investigate the building.
That guy had a hoarding issue if he needed 69,000 square feet.
Well, I will tell you, when we took over the building, we took it over. Like I said, it's almost been 5 years now. We moved 100 tons of garbage out of the building.
I can't even wrap my brain around what that would be.
We took, and I don't remember the exact number, but one of the bathrooms on the first floor, I think we counted over 1,000 rolls of wallpaper. You know, those Christmas tree stands? We had 180 Christmas tree stands in one room. I had another room that was full of garbage disposals. I have no idea what this gentleman was doing with all this stuff, but what we could donate, we donated, and then what we couldn't, we ended up, you know, throwing away. But the whole hospital was just full of randomness.
That is crazy.
Everything. And I remember as an investigator, you had to crawl over this stuff to, you know, stand in a room and investigate. So the staff and I got together and we moved, like I said, 100 tons of garbage out of the building.
I can't even visualize that or conceive of what 100 tons would be.
Well, just put it this way. The average car, now we're not talking big SUV, but just regular car. The average car is 2.5 tons. We basically pulled 50 cars out of the hospital.
That's something else. So when, with the paranormal stuff, what kind of activity happens there? And do you have any ideas? Because you spend so much time there, I would even guess there are some familiar spirits to you there.
We do. We have quite a few familiar spirits here. Yeah, it is kind of neat because you are right. I spend a lot of time in both hospitals, so you do kind of get to know them. It's got a first name basis. I know it sounds really weird, but yeah, we have some doctors that are kind of wandering around the hospital still. There's a nurse or two that we've found here. But mostly there's a lot of patients. We find that there's a lot of patients who have lost their lives in here that are telling their stories. We've got a couple of, and this is really funny, but we've got a gentleman, his name is Johnny, who hangs around here, and he's the dirtiest old man you've ever met in your entire life. Groups will come in and they'll do like the Estes method or they'll do EVPs, and he's just a pervert, like a really big pervert, and it's kind of entertaining. But yeah, so there's just such a vast array of different spirits that are in the building. Kind of one of them, my favorite is that we kind of touched on him a little earlier before, is Dr. Taylor. Dr. Taylor was one of the founding doctors of the hospital. He was actually cremated and he's laid to rest like 3 blocks from the hospital at one of the churches over here. But Dr. Taylor was very unique. He was extremely, extremely talented doctor. But he was also very, very smart. He actually was one of the doctors that actually kind of helped design the building. And one of the things that's really unique about him is every picture we have of him, he's got a pipe in his hand, like every one of them. Back then when, you know, the hospital was open, it wasn't illegal to smoke in a hospital.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, Dr. Taylor would walk around with the pipe in his hand. He'd be smoking. I don't know. Hopefully he didn't do surgeries with the pipe in his mouth, but he would walk around and he'd see patients. And when a patient wasn't doing what he wanted him to do, he'd smack his pipe in his hand and he'd say, "I told you." And his pipe was kind of his calling card. And one of the haunts that we actually have in the hospital is we'll have groups come in and they'll be sitting in the Tri-City ER area. And all of a sudden you'll smell this kind of maple syrupy smell. And then if you turn your light on, you can actually see this big cloud of smoke. And we believe that Dr. Taylor is coming back and checks up on us regularly to see what we're doing with his building, because I still believe he thinks it's his building. But that is, we've got pictures of it. We got videos of it. It's one of the phenomena that I have never witnessed in any other location other than here. And I just find it so fascinating.
And that is such a distinctive smell, that pipe tobacco.
It is. And it's maple syrup. I know that one of my staff got in touch with his daughter, and his daughter actually validated or verified that smell. So we kind of explained to him, we found out what the tobacco actually was that he used. And yeah, so we can actually validate that we're pretty sure it's him who's coming to check up on his building.
Did his daughter have an odd reaction to that? I just don't know how I would take that if somebody said, I think your dad might be haunting the old hospital.
She didn't seem really fazed by it, you know, which is really kind of unique because, you know, jumping from one location to the others. At Harriman Hospital, we have a young lady who was a cardiac care nurse there. And she was a very integral part of the hospital. I mean, she ran the cardiac care unit. And unfortunately, she actually, believe it or not, passed away from cardiac arrest in the same building that she was treating patients. Well, when she was lying on the table having a major heart attack, she looked at her friends because, remember, that was her hospital. She looked around and she refused morphine because she wanted to be with it when she had passed away. Her last words were that this was her home, these were her friends and her family, and she would be back. This is what she told people. A couple of months after that, one of her best friends sat down at her station, looked over, and she was sitting in her chair next to her.
No.
She couldn't believe her eyes, and when she looked back, she had disappeared. But so I think that healthcare workers are a completely different breed on their own because they put so much heart and energy into making all of us, you know, cured and making us safe and keeping us healthy, that their energy never leaves these hospitals. And I think it's a real positive influence on the hospital. And like I said, I mean, she basically told everybody at the hospital, I'll be back. And she's back. I mean, and we've had experiences with her. We've had EVPs with her. We've even had a group, and I don't remember how long ago it was, that they basically told her to get out of her chair. Like, they were doing an EVP session, and she came up and she says, you're in my chair. So it's really kind of, it's fascinating. And I think, like I said, I think they put so much energy into these buildings that energy remains even long after they're gone. It took us a good year to get in, back into the Historical Society, because they were really worried that we were going to be another group of individuals that were just going to spread, like what we talked about at the beginning of the show, with illegal this, illegal that, you know. And we came in and we said, no, we're not that group. We want to uncover the good that, you know, South Pittsburgh Hospital did for the community.
One thing I find very interesting is, like, when I look at your website, it's the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital Paranormal Research Center. You've given me something to think about. The previous owners were telling stories about evil spirits and indigenous people, things that might not have happened. So it kind of puts into people's heads that they're walking into something that's going to be evil and there's malevolent spirits in this building. So as a paranormal research center, I would think getting the history right of this building would be extremely important. Because if you go in it with a misconception, are you kind of, what's the word I want, sort of invalidating your own findings sometimes?
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with that. And that was really important to my team and myself, that we got that history right. So, and like, here's a really interesting story. So the caretaker of the building, his name was Jim. And when I was coming to the hospital many, many times, I was told just horrific background of Jim. Jim is no longer with us. Jim passed away in the hospital. He was a diabetic. He actually had diabetic shock or insulin shock or whatever that is. Not really a doctor. Mm-hmm. I apologize. But so he had passed away. So he never really got to speak for himself. And after he had passed away, they started talking about just really, really, really bad things that Jim supposedly had done. And it was kind of, once again, I think it was kind of a thing to make the building darker, make the building more, oh my God, like you said, put a preconceived notion in your head that when you walk in the building, to make it scarier than it really was. And I remember coming to the hospital and we go in Jim's area because Jim had an apartment in the hospital. And we were always under the impression that he was an aggressive, kind of mean man. And so our paranormal investigating would kind of go along the lines of that. And we would ask questions that pertain to what the old people were telling us, the old management was telling us. And so we got a lot of really negative, like EVPs and comments and things from Jim in the building that were just terrible. And when I bought the hospital, myself and a young lady named Renee Dykes were actually standing in the lobby, and we started talking about Jim. And I will tell you, it was the freakiest thing that has ever happened to me in my life. But as Renee and I are talking, I felt a hand in my hair, and it yanked my head down so hard that it actually snapped my neck back. And Renee's standing across from me, and I remember looking up at her, and she was white. And I was like, you saw that, right? She says, oh my gosh, yes. She says, I saw your hair move. I saw, and I was just like, yeah. Well, we realized that as time went on, it was Jim. Jim, we were talking about Jim, and a young lady and I named Candace Weston and I went through Jim's stuff. Jim had passed away and lived here for many, many years, and he had left everything behind. His whole life was in a room in the hospital. So Candace and I decided that we were going to go through his personal belongings. And what we uncovered about Jim was absolutely amazing.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Ronnie D. about the old South Pittsburgh Hospital and the old historic Harriman Hospital. In part two, we'll talk about what they uncovered about Jim when they went through his things. Was he a dark entity, as people had said? And we'll talk about the spirit at the Harriman Hospital that has been seen by all 40 of their volunteers. If you'd like more information on the hospital's paranormal investigations or tours, visit the Old South Pittsburgh website at osphprc.com and the Harriman Hospital website at oldhistoricharrimanhospital.com. You can check out their Facebook pages, Haunted Old Pittsburgh South Hospital and Old Historic Harriman Hospital. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. You'll find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.